Have you ever noticed that the first thing people do when they see a newborn baby is to try to determine which family member the baby resembles? Oh, she's got her mother's chin and mouth. He's got his father's eyes and nose. Look at those hands, they're just like grandpa's hands. Or look at those pink cheeks, they're just like grandma's pink cheeks. It's even been said that couples married for a long time begin to resemble each other. Researchers at Yale University studied this phenomenon and determined that people who live with each other for a long time often begin to unconsciously mimic each other's facial expressions. This is a form of facial bodybuilding, which literally shapes the way we look. So, who do you resemble? Hang on, friends. I don't mean do you look like mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. I mean spiritually. Who do you resemble? Recently, I began a series of sermons with the question that many people ask. What on earth am I here for? Why am I alive? And to answer this question, I shared that God's motive for creating us was to love us. See? That's why you're here on earth. God's motive was in creating us was to love us. We were made by God for God. We are the object of His love, and He has purposes for our lives. We looked at the first of God's purposes for our lives, and we heard that it is we are planned for God's pleasure. We bring Him great pleasure by getting to know Him and to love Him back. And this is called worship. And then we looked at God's second purpose for our lives, and we saw that we are formed for God's family. That we are learning to love each other and to get along in God's family. And this is called fellowship. And today I want to go on to the third purpose that God has put us here, and that we were created to become like Jesus Christ. You were created to be like Jesus. Amen. Romans 8 verse 29. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That same scripture in the King James, I don't know if I've got it in the next slide. Yeah, that's right. That's that same verse I mentioned. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestinate, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Friends, God's plan has always been to make you like Jesus Christ. Which doesn't mean that He wants you to be or to make us into a God. But He wants to make us godly. You see that, friends? To develop Jesus' character, the way He thinks, the way He feels and acts, and to develop His values and His moral character. That's what God wants to do with you and I, friends. So let me emphasize the third purpose why you are alive, why you are here on earth. God's third purpose for putting you here on this planet, friends, is to make you like Jesus.
Amen.
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 in Ephesians 4 verse 15. It says that we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. To grow means to become like Jesus. He is our model. And the word we use for becoming like Christ is called discipleship. Discipleship. The Greek word for disciple means learner, one who accepts the views of another person and then puts those views into practice. Thank you, Dwayne. A true disciple reflects the person he is following. So a disciple, a follower of someone, is a person who reflects that person he's following. So much so that other people look at that person and they say, "Ah, he's just like the one he's following." People should look at you and I, friends, and they should know that we are disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. People shouldn't wonder, what are you? They should know by looking at you, that's a disciple of Jesus. Why? Because he's just like Jesus. Discipleship doesn't happen overnight, friends. True discipleship is not about doing, it's about becoming. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lifetime for God to build the character qualities of Jesus Christ in us. Let me say, when I become like Christ, it's not that I become less Keith Axford. I don't lose my identity. When I become like Jesus Christ, I become the best Keith Axford there has ever been. Do you see that, friends? I don't become less and nothing and insignificant. I become the best there ever was because I am following Jesus. I think the way he thinks. I see the world the way he sees the world. I do the things he would do. I love the way he loves. I will have the riches of life and the power he has. Amen? So how does God help me to grow spiritually and become like Jesus? He uses the Bible, friends. You know why? It takes truth to transform us. Truth to transform us. If you only want to grow spiritually, if you want to really grow spiritually, you've got to get to know the Bible. You've got to read it, study it, memorize it. You've got to meditate on it, think about it, apply it in your life. God uses people also. That's why we talked about fellowship. We need each other. We learn from one another. We grow and we develop. And the more we get together with other Christians, friends, the more spiritually mature we are going to become. But God uses more than the Bible and fellowship. Paul said in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all," let me say, "all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So God works all things for good to make us like Jesus. And that includes the good and the bad and the painful and the mistakes we make all the time. Yes, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It doesn't say that all things are good, but it says that in all things, God uses for good to make you and I like Jesus. Friends, in the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus faced trouble, temptation, and trespasses directed towards him. And if you are going to grow like Jesus, God is going to take us through the same experiences one at a time. Now, these do not automatically help you to grow. You have to have your heart and your mind ready. Otherwise, those experiences are going to make you to become bitter rather than better. If your person says, "Ach man, I'm always just tempted. Ach man, I'm always just having troubles, man." Hey? Then you've become bitter. Yeah. But if you take those experiences that you had, knowing that Jesus had those same experiences, and you want to be like Jesus, if you have your heart and mind in the right place, you're going to become better. Friends, firstly, I want to talk about to make us like Christ. God uses troubles to teach us to trust Him. I'm going to say that again. To make us like Christ, God uses troubles to teach us to trust Him. In the Bible, the word trouble is sometimes called trials. And trials, listen friends, trials that you and I go through. Trials are situations designed by God to draw us closer to Him. You saying what? Yes. Troubles are situations. Trials are situations we go through, designed by God to draw us closer to Him. They are not designed to hurt us. They are designed to help us. If things go great in our life, you don't need any more faith or character. So God allows some things in our lives to stretch us and to build character and to cause us to grow and to grow to become like Jesus. Yeah. Romans 5 verse 3 and 4. We also glory, another word for rejoice. We also glory in tribulations or sufferings, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, that is patience, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. You know, Brother Jim Farmer used to always say, we're having hard times, we're having trials, we're having troubles, but listen, we are going through those times. Keith, I'm having a hard time, but thank God that I am going through these hard times. Yes, you're not staying in there, you're going through. And going through, friends, these difficult times is God's plan to draw you closer to Himself and to make you like His Son, Jesus. God is always more interested in what you are, your character, than what you do, your career. He's not tickled pink that you are a carpenter. No, He is more interested in your character. Why? Because you're not taking your career to heaven with you, but you're taking your character with you. All kinds of problems and trials, friends, come into our lives. Every problem has a purpose. And that purpose is to make you like Jesus, to build character in your life. Jesus went through many trials in His life, but the greatest was the night before He was crucified. Because He knew what He was going to face. He knew that He would take the sins of the world upon Himself. He knew that He would die a horrible death by crucifixion. And the question that remained, friends, during this was, would he trust God? Would he trust God to know what's the best for his life? Even if it meant the extremely painful death. And that's what he struggled with. The stress and anguish came over him, the Bible says, and he said to his disciples in Mark 14:34, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Another version says, "My heart is nearly breaking." Most of us can say, you know what, Keith? I know that feeling. I felt like that. I couldn't do it one more day. I felt like I had reached the worst. But notice how Jesus responded to his trials and his trouble in Mark 14:36. And he said, "Abba, Father, Daddy, all things are possible for you. Take this cup, take this suffering away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. I want your will to be done, not mine." In other words, be this as it may, I trust you, Father. Jesus surrendered to God's plan and purpose. And when you and I go through trouble, friends, it's okay to say, "God, I don't like this. And I know it's possible for you to take it away. Nevertheless, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you." And he is giving us this opportunity through no matter what we go through, to trust him, to make you like Jesus. Secondly, to make us more like Jesus, friends, God uses temptation to teach us to obey him. Temptation to teach us to obey him. Now, what is temptation? Temptations are situations designed by Satan to draw us away from God. Troubles are designed by God to draw us closer to him. So, temptations are situations designed by Satan to draw us away from God. And they are intended to harm us, to hurt us, friends. God never tempts us to do evil. Okay? But God is able, because of his greatness, of his power, to use temptations designed by Satan for good in our lives. You know why? Because temptation gives us a choice. Every time you're facing temptation, you have a choice. And when you choose God, you are defeating Satan.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you choose God, friends, you are defeating and you're ruining the plan that Satan started. Listen, friends, choosing God is obedience to his word. Jesus faced temptations, but he never sinned. He faced them. Right after he was baptized, at the beginning of his public ministry at the age of 30, he went through an intense 40 days period of temptation out in the wilderness, out in the desert. In Mark 4 verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now, if Jesus faced temptation, guess what, friends? You and I are going to face temptation too. Jesus' temptation reminds us of some truths that can help us to get through them. When you're facing this temptation, remember this, friends. Remember that it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus never sinned, yet he was tempted. You know, Martin Luther used to say, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to succumb to that temptation. Which are by Satan to draw us away from God. And when we come to that temptation, we are sinning because now we are doing it out of disobedience to God. Tempted, we chose Satan, and we were disobedient to God. And you know what? We get hurt in the process, friends. Remember, secondly, that everyone is tempted in the same way. You say, what? I'm a goody two-shoes. I'm awesome. No, you're tempted just like us. One of the ways that Satan tricks us is to make us feel like, I'm really bad. I'm hopeless. I'm terrible. I'm the only one in the world to face this temptation. No, you're not. Your temptation is just like everyone else's. And God is able to help us through these temptations. Remember also, friends, you will never outgrow temptation. You will never get to a point in your life where you are so spiritual or so old that you will never be tempted again. No. Jesus teaches us in his experience that every temptation is an opportunity to do good, to make the right choice, to obey. It's the stepping stone towards being more like Jesus. Notice what Jesus did when he was tempted. Go home and read Matthew 4. But when tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread, verse 4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When tempted by Satan to throw himself off a high place so that angels could catch him, Jesus said in verse 7, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When tempted by Satan to worship him, Jesus said in verse 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Jesus confronted the temptation by choosing God. Friends, think about this. Temptation always tests whether you love God more than the temptation. There are two things to help you with temptations. Number one, keep focused on good thoughts. Eh? You know, in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things. Number two, to help you with temptation, get a spiritual partner. None of us like to talk about the temptations, but one way we can defeat them is to be open about them, to bring them out into the light. Get yourself a spiritual partner, someone who can help you, someone you can say, hey, I'm struggling today, guys. I am tempted beyond me. You'll find that the person you have spoken to is not going to drop their mouth wide and say, what? No, you know why? Because they too have been tempted just like you. They're not going to be shocked that you are tempted. They're going to be able to relate because they've been through it too. Paul, whom Jesus used in great ways, he resisted a lot of temptations in his life. You know why? He had lots of spiritual partners. He had Barnabas, Mark, Thomas, Titus, and a whole bunch of fellas. What temptation are you facing right now, friends? And how could God use it to help you grow in character? God wants to make you like Jesus. He wants to build your character so that you can be rewarded in eternity. God uses trouble to teach us to trust. God uses temptation to teach us to obey. And finally, friends, to make us more like Jesus, God uses trespasses to teach us to forgive. You may say, now wait, now what is trespasses? We don't use that word, eh? Well, if temptations are situations designed by Satan to draw us away from God, and troubles are situations designed by God to draw us closer to Himself, trespasses are designed by other people to hurt you. The word trespass means to commit a sin, to violate a boundary. And when someone hurts you, they have violated your boundaries. Yes, there are people in life who hurt you intentionally and unintentionally. And that is why the Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our trespasses. How? As we forgive them that trespass against us. Now, this is a tough one, I tell you, friends. Because all we want to do when someone trespasses against us, we want to get even. We want to get ahead. We want to get better than them. We want to fix them up. Bearing the hurt caused by other people without retaliation is no doubt the most difficult step in becoming like Jesus. Because it involves being misunderstood, judged, being hurt, being criticized, being physically or mentally or verbally abused. These are not good things. These are evil things, and God is not the author of evil. God hates sin, but God didn't protect His Son from these things either. Even His own Son was misunderstood. Even His own Son was hurt and judged and abused. One day I was feeling sorry for myself here, kneeling here in the week, praying. I was complaining, I was whining. I was saying, Father, so and so said this about me. They hurt me. God said, I know they did the same thing to my boy. They did the same thing to my son. So what makes you think you're going to get let off the hook? On the cross, Jesus not only carried our sin, He also endured enormous abuse by people. You say, what? People were abusing Jesus? Yes, let's turn to the Bible. Matthew 27, verse 39 to 44. And those who passed by, now Jesus is hanging on the cross, man. He's paying the price for the sin of the world. He is suffering. And those who passed by blasphemed Him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself! If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. The next slide says, likewise the chief priest also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. And the very people who were saying that, Jesus was busy dying for them. The next verse says, he trusted God, in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Listen now, listen to this sentence. Broke my heart when I first read it, right? Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. We know that the one thief on the cross, he reached out to the Lord, right? But before that, he was mad with the Lord too. And what was Jesus' response? It's not on the screen, you know it. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Do you see that, friends? So every time now Jesus, people were trespassing against him, he didn't retaliate. He asked God to forgive them. Friends, I love 1 Peter 2 verse 23. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Jesus was simply saying, "I will let God deal with this." Friends, I can write an encyclopedia, not just one book. I can write an encyclopedia of some of the hard things I've experienced, the verbal, physical, mental abuse. And I say, "Lord, as hard as this is, you deal with it." And I stand back and I look at the lives of people who came up against me in all different ways, and I see them struggling so much so, I end up praying for them. "God, have mercy upon these people." What did Jesus do? What was his response to trespasses, situations designed by others to hurt him? He yielded his right to get even. He absorbed the hurt. He endured the pain. He responded to evil with good, and he forgave. That's what Jesus did, friends. Now, friends, if you are going to become like Jesus, if you want to become like Jesus, you are going to have to learn the same thing. In this life, we are going to be hurt. This is not heaven here. This is a fallen world. Everybody sins. We hurt each other intentionally and unintentionally. And if we are going to become like Jesus, we have to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is one of the primary qualities of God, and God wants you and I to learn to be like Jesus. So these hurts that are allowed in your life in order to make you like Jesus. Yeah, two tips to help you or to remember when people hurt you. Remember that God has forgiven you. Yeah, they're hurting you. Remember that God has forgiven you. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." How? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. God will never ask you to forgive anyone more than you have already been forgiven by Him. Secondly, remember that God is in control, friends. When someone hurts you, they mean it for bad, but God will use it for good in your life. And there are people who come and are intentional. "I'm going to get this guy here today. I'm going to do things to hurt him." Okay? But God will use it for good in your life. Remember Joseph. He was betrayed by his own brothers who sold him into slavery, who lied to their father that he was killed by a bear. Joseph is taken to Egypt where he's falsely accused of rape. He's thrown into prison. Yet in all of this, he trusted God the whole time, maintaining a forgiving spirit. So much so that God raised him to be number two in the entire kingdom, in all of Egypt. He was number two in command under Pharaoh. And when famine came to Israel, there comes his brothers to Egypt, to Joseph, not realizing it is him, and ask for food. And when Joseph reveals himself, who he is, they became afraid of punishment. And yet Joseph said, listen to this verse, friends. Genesis 50 verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save the lives of many people. Listen, all that has been directed towards you, evil spoken, lies spoken, attitudes and words and so on, directed to hurt you, God can turn it around for your good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, man. I want to conclude now. God uses trouble to teach us to trust. Temptations to teach us to forgive, to obey, and trespasses to teach us to forgive, because we can't be like Jesus without learning to trust and obey and forgive, friends. So God's third purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus Christ. And there's a promise. Romans 8, the last verse of today, 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There was a fellow named Joe. Joe was an alcoholic who gained a reputation of being the town drunk, and there was no hope for Joe. At the mission for the homeless, Joe miraculously heard the gospel and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Everything changed for Joe. He became the most caring person that anyone associated with the mission had ever known. Joe spent his days and nights hanging out at the mission, doing whatever needed to be done. He cleaned up after someone violently got sick, scrubbed toilets after careless men left them filthy. He fed the homeless. He cleaned people. And one evening, when the director of the mission was delivering an evening evangelistic message to the usual crowd of sullen men with drooped heads, there was one man who looked up and came down the aisle and kneeled to pray, crying out to God to help him change. He kept shouting, "Oh God, make me like Joe, make me like Joe, make me like Joe." Well, the director of the mission leaned over and said, "Son, it would be better if you prayed, make me like Jesus." The man looked up at the director with a questioning look on his face and asked, "Is he like Joe?" Is Jesus like you? Or better said, are you like Jesus? Are you like Jesus? Are you like Jesus? God wants you to become just like him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Friends, listen, as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was saying, there are people here today who do not consider themselves anything like Jesus. You have so many troubles, it's hard to trust him. You've gone through so many temptations, it's hard to obey. You've been hurt by the evil directed to you by others and you find it hard to forgive. But deep down in your heart, you want to be like Jesus. You're saying, I'm not good enough, Lord. I want to pray for you, friends. I want to pray for you. Asking God to help you trust and obey and forgive. To ask God to make you just like Jesus. Is anybody here says, can you just say a little prayer for me? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Others are saying, Keith, I've got this beat, man. You know, when I walk into the room, everybody sees Jesus, man. Because I resemble him so much. And I'm so super pumped about that, friends. I'm so excited about that. But today I want to pray for those who are struggling. Is there one more person here? Father, you are here in all your glory. Thank you for being with us in such a marvelous way. We want to be like Jesus, Lord. Just like your purpose for our lives is that we become like Jesus. I pray that you would help those, Lord God, who have raised their hands this morning and saying, man, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing it out in my life that I stand in the need of prayer. I need the Lord to change me. I need the Lord to help me. I find it hard to trust and obey and to forgive. Help me to do that so that other people will know that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. They will know that I follow Jesus Christ with my life every day. And he's there with me all the time. Help everyone, yeah, Lord, particularly those who have raised their hands this morning. Help them to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.